Our Father and our good God, Creator of the heavens and the earth, we so much appreciate you this glorious morning. Your people, we've gathered all over the world. Some, they are connected through Zoom, others through Facebook. Jehovah, many are here present because we want to return our glory unto you, Father. King of glory, there are so many, Jehovah, that are still in their houses. Some, they are still battling with the hangover of the parties they had yesterday. Emmanuel, because we looked forward to today, we preserved ourselves to be here. Papa, knowing fully well you won't allow us go the same way we came, Jesus. As our faces are different, so also God, our respective needs, Jehovah, are so different, Father. And we pray that you use this service, even this opening session, through the praise and worship, through the ministration of the word, through the prophetic declarations, Papa, meet us at the points of our respective needs in the name of Jesus. If there be anyone, my Father, that is so troubled in his heart or her heart, Father, Jehovah, so heavy that they are asking, is God still existing? Papa, come and show yourself strong after today in the name of Jesus. Bless our Bible studies. I disappear, God, come and appear in me, God. Let your strength, God, be made manifest in my weakness. And at the end, your people will be blessed as never before. In Jesus' blessed name, we pray. Church, put your hands together for the Lord. You can be seated in the heavenly places. The Lord is going to help us this morning. He's going to bless his word. He's going to illuminate our hearts and grant us deeper revelations to his word to help us to move and to walk in these demanding days, especially in this part of the world that we are living in. And heaven will bless us today in the name of Jesus. Okay, some couple of weeks ago, we started what we titled the Pauline episode. And we'll be driving through step by step to actually understand the formations and the things that brought about the Bible we are holding. Having in mind that there are so many people that have taken to the social media, not only being used by the devil to disprove or trying to disprove the word of God, but we are also afraid of the young hearts that are coming up that have not taken cognizance of the writings of the scriptures, that may not know the roots and the rudiments of what brought about the scriptures. These people go about in the internet to say there is no God, and especially us in Africa, they try to preach to our hearts that the Bible is the book of the white man. And they say to us that our own Jesus is the Jesus of the white people. So this studies also is helping us to know that there are fallacies, that Jesus is not the Jesus of the white people. Neither is the Bible of the white people. So we are taking step by step to actually understand, and we've been able to prove by the grace of God that it was actually the same time the gospel went to Europe. That was the same time it came to Africa. So the Europeans embraced it in those days more than the Africans. That is why it seems so. They exported it back to us, that which they've gotten. And thank God, Africa, we are now in the move. Hallelujah. Celebrate Jesus for Africa. And yesterday, last week, Sunday, we looked into the third missionary journey of our great Apostle Paul, the man that is well endowed with wisdom and revelations of the Word of God. The missionary that had no fear of anything. At every point in time, he was very ready to lay down his life to make sure the gospel is preached all over the world. And we saw how he came into Ephesus in his third missionary journey. We started how he visited the churches he planted in the first missionary journey, the churches under the Arses of Galatia, like the B church, we saw the Lystra church, we saw the Iconium church. These are the places he first visited while he started his third missionary journey, and he came to Ephesus. And again, don't forget, during his second missionary journey, he visited Ephesus and stayed for a couple of days. And the people, after hearing the gospel, they so desired him to continue staying with them. But because he had another appointment, he needed to go back home to his home church. He left Priscilla and Aquila with them, and he went back to Antioch. And I believe the people must have been calling him, Paulo, please come back. We need to hear these good things you've been telling us about this Jesus. So he decided to go back to spend good time in Ephesus. And when he got to Ephesus in his first, second, and third missionary journey, Ephesus is the longest place he stayed. He stayed about 3 years in Ephesus. And the Ephesus we have today that is located in our present-day Turkey, they are the one the book of Ephesians was written to. Praise Master Jesus. So when you see the book of Ephesians in the Bible, it was actually written to a physical church that was existing. Just like you and I, we are the church in Ejesha. If Brother Abraham was to be alive today and he hears that there are people who his ministry has cut down back to the scriptures, and he decides to write us, he will address us, the church of God in Ejesha. Hallelujah. And maybe the pastor will say, Brother Abraham has written us, and the whole church everywhere, we want to hear what this great man of God wants to say. That was how it was in the days of the Apostle Paul. When his letter arrives, the news will go all over the city that the great Paul has written to our church. And the brethren want to hear the wisdom, especially Paul that has spent 3 years with them. Now, when they want further revelation, and we will get to that. When he was imprisoned in Rome, that was when he wrote the book of Ephesians to the church he spent 3 years lecturing. So today we want to dwell in the church of Ephesians, because for Paul to have stayed 3 years, almost 3 years in Ephesus, which means there are great things that happened. So as believers, we want to look in the things that happened there and what gave rise. In fact, there was a time his spirit so desired for him to leave Ephesus, but because of the preaching, the easiness of the preaching of the gospel, and the acceptance of the people, he decided not to go, even when his spirit said he should leave Ephesus. So there are sometimes you feel so good of what you are doing, that even if something is signaling for you to go elsewhere, you are looking at what you are doing here, you are enjoying it, you just decide to delay. That was, again, what happened to Paul. So today we are continuing again in our third missionary journey of Paul, and today we will look especially on the brethren of Ephesus. And again, don't forget, last week we looked also on the writings of the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So we get to know that the book of Corinthians we have here today was actually written to a local church just the way we are. And we also proved from the scripture that what we call the first book of Corinthians is supposed actually to be the second book of Corinthians, because the first letter that was written is missing in date. And we saw how Paul sent Timothy to resolve the problem in Corinth, and Timothy being unable to fully resolve the problem, Apostle Paul went himself to the Corinthian church, and again he went back and sent Titus. So by the time he left, probably some of the things he spoken to their hearts, they begin to bring it into understanding. And by the time Titus came, the people, they fully repented, and they are begging for Paul to come. And certainly Paul visited them again the third time. So the Lord will bless us as we dig deep into the book of Ephesians today, in the name of Jesus. Okay, let me have the slides. So the Pauline episode, I believe this will be part 7 of the Pauline episode. Paul in Ephesus, special miracles in Ephesus, the council of Demetrius will look at this very special instrument of Satan. He's a very special instrument the devil used, and it's quite good to also see that very young man very well. And the riot in Ephesus against Paul that was actually that was brought about by Demetrius. Again, the confused assembly of the rioters. And we will look at Diana, the goddess of Ephesus, and we'll look at the ancient temple of Diana. Then after the uproar, Paul left Ephesus. Then Paul arrived to Macedonia. Hallelujah. So let us pay very keen attention. We will read some scriptures. Let me have the next slide. Paul preached in Ephesus for 3 years, the longest recorded stay of Paul in every city. In every city through his first, second, third missionary journey. This is the longest city he spent time dealing and fellowshipping with the brethren. The second point there says that he went into the synagogue of the Jew. And in this synagogue of the Jew, Paul, unlike other places we've seen, the first week Paul comes into the synagogue, immediately after he has preached Jesus, they will chase Paul away. The next moment, they are chasing Paul away. But we see in Ephesus, the people received him for 3 months. 3 months he was in the synagogue, coming in, reasoning with them about the Jesus. And you know, the routine then was, when a visiting rabbi is passing by any city, the host, the leadership of the synagogue always want to hear this rabbi speak. And again, I believe Paul must have presented himself as a Pharisee of the Pharisee. So, which means he was well lettered in the Jewish tradition. So, they allowed Paul in, and everybody gathered to hear Paul in the synagogue. And while Paul was bringing up the Old Testament preaching in the synagogue, he would be chipping in Jesus. He would be chipping in Jesus until Jesus became the form of the gospel he was preaching. And there became a division in the synagogue. The Pharisees there say, did you hear what this preacher was just saying today? That this Jesus is the savior of the world. This Jesus, that we have to believe in this Jesus. So they began to be cackles, to question what Paul was preaching. And immediately they rose to influence, and they decided to chase Paul away from the synagogue. Hallelujah. So let's take that reading, the book of Acts chapter 19. Let's see verse 8. Like I said, we will read some scriptures to establish some of the things we're saying. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. 3 months. 4 weeks make 1 month, which means he's been in the synagogue for 12 weeks. The people, they were enjoying the new doctrine until Paul started mentioning Jesus. That if you don't believe in Jesus, no rapture. No Holy Ghost, no rapture. That was how they chased him away. But before they chased him away, let's go back to the slide. He've already gotten some who have believed in that which he was preaching. So, like I said, remember that during his first visit, they were the one who begged him to stay. So, which means when he came back the second time, they received him because they were earnestly expecting him to come back. And that was why he had this long time to preach in the synagogue, because they were expecting him. Now, after they've evaluated what he was preaching, saying that he's introducing them to Christ, the hardened Jews spoke evil of Paul and divided the multitude. They must have gone to sow seed of discord among other believers there and say, look at what this man is preaching. It's against the preachings of Moses. We don't understand. And certainly, there became a division that Paul had to leave the synagogue. Now, he didn't live alone. When he was living, there is a school already, a school of philosophy. a school of philosophy that was existing, and Paul probably has gone to the man, or maybe the man had believed in the preachings of Paul and said, Paul, Oga, please, can you borrow us a hall in your school so that the time when your school is not in session, I can gather my people here and begin to teach them further revelation. Praise Master Jesus. So this young man, Tyrannus, concurred to the appeal of Paul and opened his school hall, where Paul now transported all that have believed in his message, and there became their point of gathering. Hallelujah. So Paul began to use the school hall of Tyrannus to teach his disciples for 2 years. So for 2 years, they had a place where they were gathering. You know, in Ephesus, today, the area is very sunny. So in the time where there is cool hour, the people goes to work. So the government then always give them a longer time to rest because of the weather. So Paul, during when the people are working, Paul was also working as a tent maker. So during their time of rest is when he will gather the people, even under the hot sun, when the normal people will be sleeping, Paul was laboring. That is why you will hear him say that he labored both day and night. In the day, he's laboring to work with his hand. In the evening or in the cool afternoon where there is sun, he gathers the people also to labor in the gospel. Somebody put your hands together for Apostle Paul. So Paul in Ephesus, God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Special miracles God did in Ephesus, and we actually going to see Luke, he mentioned special miracles of the things God actually did using Paul in Ephesus. Let's have the next slide. Special miracles in Ephesus. I say, Paul's gospel began to change lives, and God has to back it up with extraordinary miracles. The things Dr. Luke saw was actually a thing a man cannot do. So God was behind him, confirming his preaching with signs and wonders. I said, many who practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burnt them publicly. It's not an easy one, because Ephesus is one of the stronger idolatrous country, the country that worship idol. This is one of their strongholds. Let's see that Acts chapter 19. Let's take 18 and 19. Acts chapter 19, 18 and 19. Hallelujah. He said, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious art brought their books together and burnt them before all men, to the sin of all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the people didn't just believe here in Africa. When people who deals in alcohol, or people who deals in the things that the scripture or the Christian stand doesn't permit, when you tell them, when you believe, you have to believe totally. You say, my alcohol business, how go do am? My hairdresser business, how go do am? You see the example of these people. When they believed that which was fetching them money, because they have so many sorcerers in Ephesus, they all to the glare of the public, they said, this has been the things we've been doing, and Paul the apostle has preached to it. They brought it and they burnt it before the people. You see, that is actually a sincere belief. The people didn't want to go back to the things which they've destroyed, and they gave out. You see the price of what they've burnt. Today, when you tell people about it, you say, this is my business. I got a dorm, but I will know how, or I will lease it out. Put down your trouser. He said, this trouser, I bought this for so many amount of money. How can I just give it out? So when you are truly a Christian, it must be both in words and in deed. There must be a deed. It's not only in words. The deed also must be seen and must show. Praise Master Jesus. So we saw that the people who believed in Ephesus, they burnt publicly. Say, Oga, you do come for me to read your palm to see when your father and your mother will die. Say, the book I use now, I have burnt it. Don't come again because I have given my life to Christ. That was the miracle God was doing in Ephesus. And we have again, the sick received Paul's handkerchief and became well. So many of the people, when they have sick loved ones that couldn't come to the meeting or that couldn't come to where they go to Paul and say, Paul, please, we needed you to pray for our people. Just like the pastor taught us when this year started. You can do it yourself. You can pray yourself and things will happen. Paul say, oh, if they can't come, he will just take his handkerchief. You know, Paul, during the day, he was also walking. Then he was sweating. He would just take his handkerchief and clean his sweat to have contact. He said, the apron that came out of Paul, so he used and clean his heat. Take, go and give your mother. When you get there, just hit the handkerchief on him or her. They will become well. Praise Master Jesus. That was actually what Elisha did to Gehazi. He gave him his staff. He said, go. When you get there, do this and this will happen. But Gehazi's own didn't happen. No. Praise Master Jesus. But Paul's own happened. Why? Because they have the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit was there. The people were grounded in the world. And that was how the miracles God was actually performing in Ephesus. Let's read that again. Acts chapter 19, verse 12. Let's start from 11. He said, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, verse 12, so that from his body, you see, from his body. Okay, this is to say, it's not the handkerchief. This our anointed anointing for says, they gather the handkerchief and they begin to settle. You know, no. It was a special one. He wasn't selling it. It was a special one from his body. You see, it was a special one from his body. So I believe it might be maybe the one he's using to clean his sweat from his body. Please go and give it to your mother and they will become healed. The Bible says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or apron, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Not only sickness, those that were possessed. Go back to the slide. Those that were possessed with evil spirits, the handkerchief also, by the power of God, they disappeared. Diseases also were healed through the apron of Paul and handkerchief. These are the renowned miracles God was actually doing in Ephesus. You see, when you are preaching and God is backing you up with miracles, we see the reason why Paul spent 3 years. Because the gospel will become so easy. Immediately you say in the name of Jesus, something don't happen. So Paul never wanted to go because things were happening that was actually keeping him in Ephesus. So powerful. So the diseases were also healed. Evil spirit went out through the handkerchief and aprons of Paul. So these are some of the miracles. Let's see other miracles. Go to the next slide. Other miracles that God actually did in the life of the people in Ephesus. I say, above all other miracles we've seen, the miracle of regeneration in Ephesus and in all Asia. So this revival was not only domiciled in Ephesus, it was spreading as far as other parts of Asia. And it was during this time, Epaphras, we'll talk about Epaphras, the founder of the church of Colossians. It was during this time Epaphras got his own fire and he went to his own city, Colossians, and he planted the church of Colossians. So the gospel was not only in Ephesus, it was spreading all over that region. As many as could catch the fire, they were going on. Let's see that in that Acts 19:26. Acts 19:26 to 28. Say, moreover, this was the testimony of Demetrius, So we look at this. This is the testimony of an enemy. So if an enemy gives a testimony concerning you, you got to rejoice, especially when they are saying the truth. You know, they can't deny this truth. So this statement we're about to read was actually a testimony from the enemy of the gospel. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. So this is what the enemy has to say concerning what Paul was preaching. He said, moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no God which are made with hands. Praise Master Jesus. So this 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger, but to be set at naught, but also that the temple of this great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipped. You see, so my sister, you are clapping. Please clap again, clap again. The spirit is working. Clap again. You see, this is the testimony of the enemy. The enemy is saying this bright assembly is not only Jesha, they have taken over all over the world. I am telling you, the people that are connected online are 1,000 times the people that are seated here. Please give your hands together to the Lord. So this was the testimony. They said this Paul has taken all over the place. Let's have the slide. And when we get to that, the man began to incite the heart of the people. Now, you see, when good things is happening, the enemy will first of all bring out his people to impersonate that which the Lord has started. So the seven sons of Sceva try to impersonate this power of God. You know, these people, like I said in the next slide, their father is the head of native doctor in Ephesus. Their father is the head. The whole native doctor in Ephesus, they pay homage to their father. So, you know, they are influential in the land. People comes for them to expel evil spirits. And especially when a power comes, they began to use their power. So when they heard the power that Paul preached, without knowing the God of Paul, so when people come in, they want to exercise that same power. I cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. When immediately they said it, the evil spirit actually knows who Jesus is. The evil spirit actually knows who Paul is. But Oga, who are you? The identity is not there. And the evil spirit mounted on seven of them and began to destroy them. Praise Master Jesus. So this was the first movement the devil tried to use in order to counter that which God was doing, but God's power overpowered them. I say, take notes. I say, with the above miracles, the stage was set for confrontation with the forces of darkness. If the devil is not after what you are doing, which means the devil is the piloter or the pilot of what you are doing. If you are doing anything spiritual that is making effect, and the devil leaves you alone, you know he's one of the shareholders of that which you are doing. But if the devil doesn't have any influence in what you are doing, expect fight. You have to expect fights. The truth that you are doing the right thing is that battles will be coming, but in all those battles, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. So if you are not fighting any battle in what you are doing, please go back to your praying room and ask for battle. Because there must be a test before there is testimony. Don't desire testimony without a test. So if you think Christianity is a bed of roses, begin to rethink. That was the first sermon Paul preached in Galatians. So after the beating, I showed us how he went back to tell them, please, I forgot to add this to what I preach to you people. It's a true tribulation and suffering. We must enter the kingdom. I didn't tell you people this before. So it must be balanced. So because God was so present in Ephesus, the stage was not open for the devil to come in. Praise Master Jesus. And the devil must always use an agent. The devil is a spirit that we also look for a physical body that has presented him or herself to be used. And we saw this man, Demetrius, is the agent that presented himself for the devil to use against what Paul was actually doing in Ephesus. Let's go to the next slide and see what happened. I call it the Council of Demetrius. Now, he actually was one of the craftsmen that designed the shrine, the image of their goddess Diana. So the worship of Diana is actually spread almost all over the Roman Empire. So people all over the world, they make order, they send it through parcel, through God is good motto, to deliver some images the people have ordered. So this man was very rich. And when Paul's preaching in Ephesus began to take root, he saw that the order he used to get has started declining. Oga, what is happening? Yes, last month the order I had was 20,000 pieces of Diana image. Now this month, now 5,000. No? And the next month we've entered, he's declined to 3,000. So he began to make investigation. And he saw that Paul was actually preaching that there is no other God made with hand. It's only the true God. He said, hey, so this is where the problem is coming from. So, you know, they have their union, you know, the craftsmen. And this young man, he called a meeting to discuss the decline in the sales of the image of Diana. So all of them, they gathered, say, we have to do something. You know, if not, hungry will kill us. So Demetrius and his fellow image makers didn't have problem with the doctrine of Paul, not at all. But their problem now is what the belly is going to eat. The stomach ministry, the stomach infrastructure is having problem. So their anger is that Paul's preaching wants to put them out of business. Let us quickly take that book of Acts 19:23-25. Let's just see his statement there. He said, and the same time there arose no small stir about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which had silver shrine for Diana, he said, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. So he called a meeting of like-minded people, business friends, and they began to discuss ways in which they will come back to business. Now, some of the things they pointed out in their meeting, I was in the meeting in the spiritual, so let me tell you some of the things they discussed. They said, less people are now ordering image of Diana from them. He said, you see, Oga, last month, how many did you sell? He said, last month I sold 5,000. Upper month, how many did you sell? He said, 15,000. You see, there is a decline. So, you also saw that the temple in Ephesus was a popular tourist attraction. So, which means the people were coming to this temple to actually behold the things that men has put in place. So when these stories come all over the world, they order the image of Diana. So by the preaching of Paul that has gone through all over the world, the tourists, when they come again, when they bring that image to them, they say, no, we don't need it. We are not for Jesus. We have nothing to do with this image. Hey, the tourists come and they are no longer patronizing these people, and it became a problem. And the image of Diana made by Demetrius and co. was sold to visiting tourists and local worshippers. And the worshippers who carry the image anywhere in the world, you will see in India, when the flood came, the people started carrying their God. Can carry your God anywhere, place it there and begin to worship. So the tourists, they could come buy it and go back to wherever they are coming from. So after they've deliberated on the decline in their business, now they began to bring up approaches in order to combat that which is happening in the land. And the first approach they took was to stir the people against Paul and the way. is to begin to tell their people, we are Abrahamite by birth. How come again another man has reason to tell us that Abraham is not the seventh messenger? Was that what your father told you? Was that what your preacher told you? In fact, he says it's true. My father told me this. They will go and bring out the story of the Maccabites, right? They will say, don't you read about these people in the Bible? When the great Jeremiah came to tell them contrary to what their father told them, he said yes. And they will ginger the people, fight with Stato. That was how they were able to get to the heart of the people, and the big protest started in Ephesus. It's not a small problem. Now, the truth of it is that there are all yes members that joined the riot that don't even know the purpose of the fight. Drometus and his co, they are not fighting against the way because they love. Sorry, the echo in that mic is just returning to my ear. Okay, I think this is a bit better if you can give me a little volume to this. Yes. So, Demetrius and co, they weren't fighting against the way because they love the doctrine or the teaching of Diana very well. They were fighting because of their stomach. You see? So, before you join any fight, I beg, sit down to know the purpose behind that fight. There are more to meet than what the naked eye is seeing. They may present A, but B is the reason why they are fighting. Praise Master Jesus. So, Demetrius and his friends presented A, but B was actually the reason why they are fighting. And innocent people that knew nothing about the fight joined them, and the fight started. Praise Master Jesus. Let's see the next slide. A very serious fight started. The fight that the people, they had their protest placard. And SAS must go. They all had their protest placard. And some of the things that were written in that placard is that Paul said, there is no God made with hands. And it was written in the placard. When they see people from Ephesus, he say, is Diana not a God? He say, it's a God. That is what Paul is preaching. And they all went to Lekito Gate to stand that Paul must go. Praise Master Jesus. Now, the placard also wrote there, we are out of business. The magnificence and worship of the great goddess Diana has reduced. So they cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesus. These are some of the things that was written in their placard. Great is Diana of the Ephesus. So the whole city of Ephesus was full of confusion. The city, if those of us who actually were in Lagos, or I was trapped in Benin during the NSAS, I was trapped there in Benin. So if you see what happened during the NSAS, just picture at least the people during the NSAS, they are godly, they are fighting for the right choice. But look at these people, very deadly people that had no God in them. You will understand the magnitude of what was happening in the city of Ephesus there. So they all marched to the city theater. When they were going to the city theater, they saw Gaius, the follower of Paul, and they saw Aristarchus. Oh boy, they grabbed these people. The beating they gave these two people. They grabbed them and they were looking for Paul. They heard these two people and they began to drag these followers of Paul by name Gaius and Aristosus, and they took those men to the theater shouting, great is Diana of the Ephesus. Oh boy, these people can kill because of their God. So immediately Paul heard that his people has been arrested. Paul heard that his followers has been arrested. Paul said, no, I have to go there. These are my boys. I have to go and deliver them. Advocate. The officials of Ephesus called Paul. Say, please, I heard these people mentioning your name. Where is Paul? Where is Paul? Where is Paul? If you go there, these people will kill you alive. Paul said, no, but they are holding my people. He said, we officials, we will make sure they don't kill them. We will protect them. But for you, please, go and hide. I heard these people saying, if they see you, they will kill you. So that was how Paul hid to their advice. And Paul went somewhere and was praying for his followers. Praise Master Jesus. So they all went to the city theater in order to complain to the official. Now, when they get to the city theater, the officials will come to address them. So they all went there. Let's see the next slide. Please write down the scriptures and read it on their own. So some didn't know the reason for the protest, but just joined the rioters. Let's see that, very important. So that before you join any fight, you will first of all know the reason. They all just heard that there is protest and they came over to join the protesters. As at 19:32. Let's see that very quickly. He says, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. The people came. Some didn't know the reason why the protest was going on. Just they want to identify with what's happening. So I say, remember that Demetrius and his group were behind this upheaval. Now, the enemies of Paul, remember, Paul was drove out from the synagogue after 3 months. Now, the protest doesn't know that you are a Jew or you are a Christian. As long as you look like a foreigner, you are in trouble. So the Jewish people who have been warning Paul about this new gospel you've been preaching, this gospel will put you in trouble in this country. You don't want to hear. You are telling them there is no God. You see, we Jewish people, we try to paint, to compromise, to accommodate them. So the Jewish people nominated their own spokesman to tell the Ephesus that we, the Jewish people, we are not part of what these Christian people are doing. No. So they nominated their young man. The enemies of the Jews who drove out Paul from the synagogue presented Alexander as their spokesperson to defend the Jew before the rioters. You can read there. Immediately he raised up his hand and they saw that he was Jew. They started shouting again. All of Nana the same. So he couldn't speak for his people. Now, when this had happened, the town clerk appeased the rioters and calmed the burning fire with sweet words in praise of Diana. The reason why he did this, because if he is an official representative of the Roman Empire, so if information gets to the headquarters that there is a problem, definitely he's going to lose his job. So he began to do everything to calm the problem first, and he stepped in and was telling them, we all know now that Diana is the god everybody know. Even the statues fell from Jupiter, and they saw that he was a part of them. That was how he calmed the situation, and the people began to live in peace. Praise Master Jesus. Now, he dismissed the angry rioters with his words and choice of words. He is not neither a Christian or he's in support of Diana, but his job is also in question. If he doesn't handle that very situation, he might lose his job. And when he loses his job, depending on how many deaths that was recorded, he might also face persecution. So he decided to watch the situation and calm the situation with choice words. Praise Master Jesus. Now, if people could stand up, they are not fighting for Christ. They are not fighting for great men. They are fighting for an image, a goddess. Let us just take time to look down on this Diana. And don't forget, the image of Diana is considered as one of the 7 wonders of the world. The image of Diana. So, an image that is considered as one of the 7 wonders of the world. So, you know, to the Ephesians, it wasn't just a joke for you to come and change their religion. So let's have the next slide and look at this very image very well. Look at the woman. This is the image of the goddess Diana. So the image portrays that is the image shows that she's a breasted creature, structure, breasted with so many breasts. I say they worship Diana, the goddess of fertility. They believe, they say she's the goddess of fertility. You can see the scripture there, please. Let's just read that very quickly. Acts 19:34-35. He said, but when they knew that he was a Jew, that was Alexandra, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesus, 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesus is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? You see, so they consider this image, back to the slide, to have fallen from Jupiter. And because of that, it was added as one of the wonders of the seven wonders of the world. So she represented by a large cave female figure of many breasts. As you can see in that picture, you can see so many breasts. It's like the breast is up to 22 there. Praise Master Jesus. So many. So they said she's their goddess of fertility. So the Ephesians, they believe that the image of Diana fled from Jupiter, just like we just read now. They believe this image fell from Jupiter. And the history holds that Ephesus was the center for superstitious religious practices. History holds that they were so much domiciled in the worship of idol. Let's see some of those things again. Go to the next slide. The image continues. The Ephesus was the home for the temple of one of the wonders of the ancient world. That is this image we've seen. Some of the wonders of the ancient world, like we've seen, we have the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. And this Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt, history also holds that that is the oldest wonder of the world. And it was the structure served as the tomb of the fourth dynasty Pharaoh, Khufu. Pharaoh Khufu was actually buried that very place in Egypt, served as his tomb where he was buried. We also have the statues of Zenus. The statues of Zenus is also a status where the people also worship. And the statues, you can see the statues in Greece also, praise Master Jesus. We also have the garden, the Hanging Garden of Babylon. I'm naming the wonders of the world. We have the hanging garden of Babylon. So these are wonders of the world. We also have the Colossus. The Colossus Rhyon is also in Greece. And this Colossus Rhyon, they portray it also as the sun god Leon, Helion of Greece. So these are some of the wonders of the world. And Diana is one of those seven wonders of the world. So you could see why the people were actually fighting for what they believed. Praise Master Jesus. Let's see the next slide. Now, this is the remain of the ancient temple of Diana of Ephesus. As of 2017, this image was captured 2017. This was the center. So when those who are speaking against Christianity, they should also note that Christianity actually picked some of the traditions of, they call it the classical traditions of the world. Christianity also picked the antiquity, the classical antiquity of the ancient world. Christianity also picked them, like you can see Diana explained in the book of Acts. So the temple was constructed 3 times. This temple now, that the ruin, as you can see, this picture was taken in 2017, the temple where the goddess Diana was actually placed, his image was placed. The earliest version of the temple was destroyed by flood. Maybe that flood is the type of Noah's flood, a very strong one, to destroy the first temple. Now, you know, they are idol worshippers. They will also want to erect the worship of their god. It was constructed by Cleopatra and his son Metanis for almost 10 years. For you to know what we are talking about, it's not what they constructed in 1 year or 2 years. The second one, it took them 10 years to reconstruct the temple of their goddess Diana. Yes, and was also destroyed in an act of arson. Maybe it caught fire, somebody set fire there or something of that nature. So the second temple was actually destroyed. Now, the third temple was constructed by the Ephesians themselves. And was added, this was when it was now added to the seven wonders of the ancient world. Praise Master Jesus. Now, this was when it was added to the seventh wonders of the ancient world. So you could see the battle the people they were fighting. They were fighting of a recognized image that they actually were serving. But God gave Paul victory in order to gain the elect and bring the elect into the fold of what he was preaching. Somebody put your hands together for our God. So after that uproar, we can now see the picture why the people, they were fighting, why they were protesting. So, you know, by this time they were protesting, Paul was hiding in a secluded place. Nobody knew where Paul was. All his prayer was for his followers to be released. And by the intervention of the town clerk, Gaius was released to Paul. Praise Master Jesus. Normally now, they will be shouting, if we see that Paul, we will teach him example. If we see that Paul, we will teach him example. So that was how, the next slide, Paul, from where he was, now, before he left, Paul now called, let's take it here. After the uproar, Paul left Ephesus to continue his third missionary journey. You see, I said, Paul was actually enjoying Ephesus because everything he was doing, the Spirit of God was backing it up with signs and wonders. Ah, if you get that kind of ministry, do you want to go anywhere? Paul didn't want to continue his third missionary journey again because Ephesus, God was performing what he was doing. And the Bible recorded that the word of God grew mightily. It was in Ephesus because God was fully in charge of what Paul was doing. I said before the riot, Paul had proposed in his spirit to leave Ephesus, but he delayed because the ministry was very easy with signs and wonders. I said the rioters showed Paul that it was time to move with his missionary journey. And Ephesus then was the stronger idolatrous region in Asia. Now, the intervention of the local official shows that the law still provided some protections for the Christian community there. Now, after the uproar, Paul called the disciples and embraced them. He called them to the closet where he was. He said, please go and call me Gaius. Call me Pastor Zoe. Call me Brother Olumide. In the room he was. And when they came, he said, thank God you didn't go. These people, they were just chanting your name. He said, I have to leave and continue the work God has called me. And that was how he embraced them. He strengthened them with words of encouragement and said, I have to go on. If not, these people will kill me here. And I have not fulfilled the purpose of my creation. That was how Paul left Ephesus and he headed to Macedonia. But the good thing there is that he has left a legacy. So the people who believed in that 3 years he was in Ephesus, the people congregated and they became a church. So that was how the church of Ephesus was then. Praise Master Jesus. And when Paul finally finished his third missionary journey, in prison in Rome, as we will get to that later, he now wrote the book of Ephesus, the book of Ephesians that we have today, was actually written to this local church we just discussed. That was the book Paul wrote to them to strengthen them and tell them further revelation. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. So by next week, we will now follow Paul as he leaves Ephesus and he moves through the call, he the Lord has called him. Praise the Lord. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Sorry, please, if you have questions, try to do that tomorrow in our Ask Our Pastor, and then the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Begin to thank God for that which we've planned today. Thank him. Thank him for what you've planned today. Just give him praise. He's God indeed. He's still in the business of getting his people.